Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, May 4th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota and Keith. Normally during May, we would be watching lacrosse. We would have NCAA tournament lacrosse coming. We'd be rolling in towards Memorial Day where John Tillman would probably make another Final Four because that's what he does every single year. Unfortunately, we will not be watching any live lacrosse. But you and I did the next best thing. We found one of the best in Maryland history to bring on the show this week, and that's Joe Walters, wearer of the legendary number one All-American world champion, MLL, PLL, NLL, all the L's that guy has been involved in, one of the pioneers in terms of professional lacrosse over the past 20 years. We had a really great chat with him.
Yeah, and one of the top veterans in the game right now. You know, he's a guy who, you know, probably could have just rode off into the sunset when the PLL was forming and said, you know what, I've kind of, you know, done my time. I've played in my games. I'm going to, you know, enjoy retirement. But he still has that competitive edge and competitive streak that was bred at the University of Maryland, where he was a four-year starter, four-time All-American, and now is enjoying success with the Redwoods of the PLL, who fell in a thrilling overtime game to the Whipsnakes, or Terpsnakes, as we called them last year, over 15 Maryland lacrosse alumni on the Whipsnakes roster, falling to them in the championship in Philadelphia, which Joe describes as just the electric atmosphere, one of the best atmospheres he's ever been a part of in the game of lacrosse. But great conversation. We got to catch up with him with, you know, not much else to do, no lacrosse to play. He gets to talk to us, Taylor. Lucky him.
Yeah, Joe. Exactly. Joe out in California, so not in a bad spot. Two takeaways, really, that I had before we go into it. When you talked about that championship game, first, we'll have to say all the Terps on the one side and then the other team with one Terp in the other championship game. So that's what Terps do, get to championship games and win them. But so dedicated to the sport, as you said, really could have stepped out and done his camp circuit and done all the different things and stopped playing. But the passion which he spoke about growing the game and having to be a part of this collection of players and buying into everything that the PLL has done from a access perspective and giving players and treating them like professionals, very interesting to hear his perspective on that. Keith, you and I played lacrosse growing up, and Joe Walters was one of the best in college when I was a youth player, and you now involved with, like, we really care about that sport. And to hear guys like Joe talk about the growth of the game in the same way that a guy like Paul Rabel does and Kyle Harrison does, two Hopkins guys, but in that same vein, is very, very cool. So I think people will enjoy our chat, a long chat, with former Maryland All-American Joe Walters.
As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with former Maryland All-American, current PLL player. And we bring on Joe Walters. And Joe, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Second, you are right now quarantined in California. So I can't imagine quarantine is that bad, even though you're not playing. What's the situation out there?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously, we're all going through it. The one thing that we have for us is the nice weather. So, you know, we thought about going home to Rochester, New York. And that was like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. But we thought, you know, why would we leave the weather here? You know, it was it was going on and off snow at home in Rochester when we had that discussion. So we just thought, you know what, let's stay out here, let's enjoy the weather. And it's honestly, it's tough. It's a really tough situation that we're all going through. But it's been a silver lining for us. Being able to stay active and go outside and at least have that.
Now, you were in preparation for the PLL season. You guys were about to head to training camp. How have you sort of handled, like you said, sort of staying in shape, staying active, and staying ready in case the season comes back during the summer?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Leading up to kids' seasons, let's say lacrosse is a spring sport. Kids have been going through this for 2 months now. And I've had I've done a bunch of talks, Zooms with coaches and kids, because kids are really upset and they're really frustrated with what's going on. And up until that point, I thought we were in good shape. First game is Memorial Day weekend. We're going to be fine. This is all going to blow over. And, I've obviously things just kept getting pushed back and all these mandated stay at homes. And now I'm in that situation where our season's in limbo, our season's on hold. So it's been really frustrating now that I have to go through it. But personally, I've just tried to stay as active as possible. And I've really put forth an effort to focus on my fitness. I've learned a ton about, ways you can stay in shape and ways you can work out at home. And I think that's been really fun. And I feel like I'm in, the best shape I've been in over a decade. So I feel great. And again, just staying ready. Who knows when that's going to be, but we're just staying ready. We're just staying hopeful that this thing will blow over, that, we'll start to see a turn here.
And Joe, you talk about staying active. And one thing I noticed you're doing is actually giving lessons, virtual lessons through the PLL Academy. As a guy who's so used to face-to-face interactions and kind of that hands-on environment, what's that experience been like, just trying to teach people, through Zoom or through the computer or whatever it is?
It's been really cool. It's a way to connect and to stay in touch with kids all over the country. It's been pretty cool. It's funny. Going into this is something we could have done years ago. And it's taken a quarantine. It's taken this circumstance to figure out that we can teach in this setting. And, again, silver linings, all over. And I think it's cool to figure out and to put this into our programming, that we can stay in touch and work with kids all over the country. Obviously, it's not the same as being hands-on, in person, hands-on. But at the same time, it's really cool to be able to watch film, to break down film, to talk to and walk a kid through step by step what they can work on their own. So it's been pretty cool, though.
Looking back to that first season with the PLL, obviously it was this new touring format, something new in your career. What was that first experience like, kind of looking back, maybe what your expectations of how things were going to shake out to what the product was like?
I think, we all signed on and we're moving away from the past, things that were going on in the past, and lacrosse needs a true professional league. And, we've had great opportunities in the past, and something new was necessary. And with the PLL, players have health insurance, we're paid real salaries, and we're treated like true professionals. And I thought our first experience was when I forget how many guys there were, maybe 20 to 30 guys. They flew us to New York for PLL Media Day at NBC Sports headquarters. And I think that was our first true experience of how we're going to get treated throughout. And it was awesome, man. We were there meeting with NBC Sports, doing camera work and doing all this behind the scenes stuff that, again, what they do for the NFL and these big leagues. And it was just cool to be a part of. And we all realized that this is the real deal. This is how we should be treated. And it carried over all throughout the first season. And, each weekend it felt like it got better and better and better. And again, we were really poised for a huge year too. We're just waiting right now. We're going to have a season. It's just a matter of what capacity and when.
Joe, you've kind of been a part of the growth of lacrosse over essentially the last two decades, from being in college when it moved to NFL stadiums in the Final Four to going through all of these professional leagues, indoor and outdoor. What's it been like to see lacrosse grow from when you were in college in the early 2000s to now where you're featured on NBC Sports and you have all of the social media presence and all these things that the PLL provides?
It's crazy, man. Like, I always tell myself, we were like on the verge of social media when I was in college. This is so crazy to think about, but my senior year is the first year that I had Facebook. Like, Facebook was that's crazy. It's crazy because I don't feel that old, but that's how far we've come in that time. My senior year, I remember getting Facebook. My girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, she went to George Washington, and like, her school got it maybe after us. And I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, to see the short list of schools that had Facebook. But lacrosse, like that part of it has come so far. Just, you know, the stuff on TV, ESPN games, like, it's the broadcasting has just gotten so much more advanced. And I wish I played in an era where, you know, we had like the social media and it was where it is now. It would be so cool to, you know, to be a part of that. I feel like I've been playing catch up ever since, but, lacrosse has come so far. And I think as a sport, you know, as a whole, it's the fastest growing sport in the country. The reason why I'm still involved with it, the reason why, you know, I play still obviously, but the reason why I still coach is just cause I believe in the sport. It's a great sport for kids. It's an alternative to football if parents aren't interested in that violent collision. But it incorporates a lot of sports into one: basketball, soccer, hockey, all into one. It's got the contact of football. And that's why, you know, I really love this sport. But yeah, it's come so far. Like, just from my days at Maryland to where it is now with social media, with the growth of everything, it's unbelievable.
Joe, you touched on some things there, but, you know, coming into last year, you're a four-time All-American in college, two MLL championships, you played in the NLL, you played in the Canadian Lacrosse Association. What motivated you to want to, you know, start over into a new league once again? I'm sure nobody would have blinked twice if, you know, retired, kind of go off into the sunset, but what motivated you to want to give it another run with a new team?
Yeah, well, you know, a few things. Number one, I still feel like I had some years left in me. I still feel like I'm playing high level ball. So that's first and foremost. I still feel like I have that competitive nature in me. So if I'm still able to compete at a high level, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to put my best foot forward. You know, again, I still feel like I have a few years left in me. So we're trying to go out. I'm trying to win a championship. That's my only goal. That's what I play for, is to win a championship. I said it when I talked to I said it in a podcast before. I have felt that feeling before of what it feels like to win a championship, and once you feel it, you want that feeling again. And for the guys on my team that haven't felt it, I want them to feel it because it's such a cool feeling. So that's what I'm chasing. That's what I want. As far as a new league, I mean, the best players we signed over. It was 120, maybe it was 130 of the best players to form this new league. You know, to be a part of that just went without saying. Like, I had to do it. There was no other option. Obviously, all the things that were improved upon in this new league, it just made it a no-brainer. So it's really cool to build something from scratch. You know, all the players have ownership. We have stock in the league. So I want this thing to take off. I want this thing to blow up, and it is. So that's it's really cool to be a part of.
And that PLL championship game in Philadelphia this past year, I mean, obviously an awesome ending to a great season. What was it like to be a part of that game and just, you know, right there in the mix at the end, just a back and forth clash?
One of the craziest games I've ever been a part of. One of the most memorable games I've ever been a part of. Obviously, you know, you take away that it's the PLL, it's our first year, just a game in itself, a game of that magnitude to win a championship. We were down by 7 goals, I believe, in the fourth. It was the third of the fourth. And I looked at Kyle Harrison and I said, man, this is over. Like, they scored a goal. I think it was like Chan and Chuck or someone scored a goal to put them up by 7. And I looked at it, I was like, this is over. Like, it was just, it sucks. This is done. And we just started chipping away. You know, Jack Neer made a huge play. Sergio Perkovic hit a two, and we're down by two or three. And I'm like, oh, I just got goosebumps right now. Just got goosebumps thinking about that. I was like, man, this is unbelievable. Just chipping away. And I think that just goes to show you, man, you're never out of the game. Seven goals and you're never out of the game. And, you know, to go up by one with under 30 left, you know, I thought that it was a wrap. This is a storybook ending. And I said it before too, that I've always known how good Rambo is as a player. I've got a true appreciation to his level of play and how great he is in that championship game, because he took over that game like I've never seen before. And it was truly special on his end to witness that, to take over. So it was an unbelievable game. You know, we defied the odds. We came back. We went up by – we should have won that game with under 30 left. And it was a heartbreaking game at the end. But you know what? That's what the sport needs. That's what the league needed too. It was a great, great atmosphere. It's like a huge crowd in Philadelphia. I just hope to be back there.
And you mentioned Matt Rambo. Great conversation with Paul Rabel on his Unbuckled podcast this week. I encourage any Terp fans listening to this to give that a listen as well. But looking back on your Maryland career, your freshman season, you come in and you make an impact right away, which is tough to do at the Division I level, to come in as a freshman and be physically ready, mentally ready, all those things. ACC Rookie of the Year, have a great season. Looking back, why do you think you were so successful in your start in college lacrosse at Maryland?
I fell in love with lacrosse at a young age, and once I started to realize what I wanted as a player, I wanted to play big time Division I lacrosse. I worked hard at it in high school, and once I got to Maryland, I wanted to. Once I got there, that wasn't enough. I wanted to be a great player, and I put the effort in. I put the hours in on my own. You know, when we were done with practice, I routinely stayed after, and I would get tons of shots up. On Sundays, I would go to the field and get tons of shots up, and that was my mentality, that was my mindset. So I definitely attribute, you know, any success that I had. Obviously, you know, it's a team sport, so the guys that I played with, I was a finisher my freshman year. I was more of a finisher. I would catch and shoot. So I wouldn't have been able to do that without great teammates on offense to draw slides and pass the ball, be unselfish to pass the ball. So, you know, I had great teammates my entire career, but my freshman year, the seniors and the older guys on our team were just so great at leading, and it made it really easy for me to step in and have that role. But the effort that I put in, you know, that's so important in lacrosse, and you know, for anyone that wants to be a great lacrosse player or great at anything, you got to put forth that work. You got to put the work in, and that's all it takes.
Now, you kept your Maryland career sort of living through in your logo, which you created out of a photo of you celebrating a goal against Georgetown. How did you go back and find that, or was that always sort of in your mind that you would want to use that photo for something involving your career?
Yeah, I remember because after college, I was doing I put together a shooting specialty camp, and I was just going through pictures, and I saw that picture, and I thought, man, that would be a really cool silhouette. Just after that goal, just kind of like, you know, that run after scoring. And I went to my graphic designer, they carved that out, and I just throwing that on t-shirts all the time. But yeah, that was from I believe my junior year against Georgetown in the playoffs, in the quarterfinals.
I'll tell you what, Joe, you send it to Taylor and I a couple of shirts. We'll send you some Maryland lacrosse stuff. Maybe we'll get a little 2-for-2 deal.
Absolutely.
Another cool thing from your Twitter, kind of amidst this whole Michael Jordan documentary on ESPN right now, you kind of posted a short story. You saved up to buy Bred 11 Air Jordans in 2001. You never wore them until the 2003 NCAA tournament against UMass on the turf at Syracuse. How did you have the discipline to not wear those shoes for 2 years, or maybe try them on but never wear them out, and save them for that game?
Oh, man. So growing up, I loved sneakers since I was a little kid. That's not, you know, some guys, they just get into the game. They start collecting and buying sneakers at whatever stage of life. I've loved sneakers since I was a little kid. You know, my My mom, she's spoiled me, so she used to take me to get sneakers sometimes. And when I put that post up, my girlfriend, she was like, "There's no way you saved up and you bought those. Like, your mom definitely went to take you. She definitely bought them for you." And I was like, "You know what? Funny thing, this is the only pair of shoes that I truly saved up every penny I had, and I bought them. I waited in line at Finish Line at the mall in Rochester. I waited in line. I was lucky enough to get my size, and I think that's the reason why I cherished them so much, and I didn't wear them because it was just so special, you know, to save up. And literally, there was coins on the counter that I was like rolling out and like counting, like putting in stacks. But yeah, I think that's probably why I cherished them so much. I brought them to Maryland, and obviously that was when I had like committed. So I knew that I was going to Maryland, black and red. So I was like, man, these are awesome. What a cool thing to bring to Maryland. Hopefully, maybe someday I'll play in them. And I got the opportunity in my freshman year. We played at the Dome, so I broke them out.
How many shoes are in the shoe collection right now? What's it look like?
It's died down as I've gotten older. With tell you what, in Rochester, it was pretty solid. It was out of control. I've been collecting for many years. I mean, I've got Jordans that, you know, have been retroed, but Jordans that are, you know, all the icy bottoms are yellow because they're so old. But I've got tons of shoes in Rochester still. But coming out to California, I only brought maybe like 10, 15 pairs. And I only buy stuff now that I really, really like, that I really love. Where before it was like, I'll just buy stuff if they're cool, if they're, you know, if they're hyped, I'll probably buy them. But now it's like, they have true meaning, and there's something that I really enjoy, that I really want.
And Joe, a couple of years back, you had the honor of being inducted into the Maryland Athletics Hall of Fame. You know, not every lacrosse player that comes through Maryland gets that honor. What did that mean to you? Kind of looking back now with a little bit of time in hindsight.
Special, so special. I think leading up to it, I didn't appreciate it as much. But then being there that evening, it was one of the best events that I've ever been a part of. First class event, everything was, you know, top of the notch. You know, just the high quality. Everything was amazing with the way they treated us, my family, and you would expect nothing less, you know, at Maryland. And just to be a part of that evening and to hear the stories of all the other people that were inducted into the Hall of Fame, you know, you realize the tradition and the greatness of our sports program. And, you know, to go into the Hall of Fame is something that I'm really, it's truly an honor. And, you know, I'm extremely proud of that, extremely proud of it, because of the rich tradition of Maryland lacrosse and all the great players that have come through over the years. But yeah, it was an unbelievable evening, and I was so nervous. I was so nervous leading up to it, very, very nervous. But once you're there, it kind of took over, and it was almost like playing a game. It just takes over, and I was caught up in the moment.
I remember being at the ceremony, watching all the different honorees, you know, Adrian Branch, Jason Gary, all those different people there, and watching them react to the other Hall of Famers. And I remember looking over at you, and every time you were sort of like locked into what was going on, watching the other people and then doing your own thing. And you sort of touched on it, but what sort of emotions were going through you as you're sort of, that's sort of almost a reflection on your entire college career to sort of come back and have that moment. What emotions were going through you as you were sort of going through that entire night?
Just again, like just being on campus was so cool in itself. Just showing up, and again, like the lights are on you. Like it's just everyone's there. They're there to see you, and it kind of brought back that memory of playing at Maryland. And it was just a really, again, with how everything was handled, it was just so beautiful. You know, the whole night was incredible. And it made me just a lot calmer being there. And again, to hear everyone's stories, to hear all that they accomplished. It was incredible. You know, Jason Gary, he was there when I was there. He's my year. So to see him, I was like, man, this is so cool seeing you. He's one of the best soccer players I've ever seen. It's like, this is just a really cool experience. So it was just an awesome night. a night that I will remember for the rest of my life.
We see you following, obviously, the current Terps, and were able to get the national championship won under John Tillman. Sort of what's it like for you to now watch these current group of players go through it, and what are your thoughts on what Coach Tillman's done for the program over the last decade?
Coach Tillman is all business, man. He's done an incredible job. He's what, you know, he's what our program needed. You know, he's really stepped in, and he's brought our program back to greatness. You know what I mean? I mean, to get that championship after that long of a drought, and he came so close leading up to it too. It's not like it was just one championship and, you know, all those years were just, making the tournament. He was in championship game, Final Fours. And that's what Maryland lacrosse is. We're always there. We're always going to be a great program. So he's done an unbelievable job. I stay in touch with him. The guys on the team, I still stay in touch with guys on the team. Jerry Bernhardt in particular, wearing number one. Jack Brennan being from my hometown. But, you know, I feel so badly for them that they got that, you know, they got their season taken away from them this year. But just like Maryland will always do, we'll be back there next year. And, you know, these guys are going to work hard. Coach Tillman will have them ready, and I'm excited to watch them.
What's that number one legacy like? How do you sort of describe that lineage as someone that was a part of it?
You know, growing up, I was a Syracuse fan. So 22 is the Syracuse number. And when I was a little kid, I always wanted to wear 22 at Syracuse. I wore 22 in high school. That was my high school number because I love Syracuse, the Powells, the Gates, Gary Gate. He wore 22, and that's what I dreamed of. When I got to high school, my high school coach, one of the assistants, was Coach Jay Whipple. His son, Andrew Whipple, wore number one at Maryland. And that's when I was, again, that's like, he used like 95 to 98. That's when Maryland was in, all the championship games, always in the Final Four. And my dad would always bring me and some buddies down. When we were kids, we'd go to the Final Four every single year. That was like our big thing. We'd go to the Final Four. And it would be, you know, it was at Maryland for several years, College Park, and that's when Andrew was there. And being from Rochester, playing for his dad, I didn't play for him at the time yet, but I knew of Andrew Whipple just from being from Rochester and wearing number one. Then when I got to high school and his dad was my coach, I wanted to be like Andrew. I strive to be as good as Andrew. And once I committed to Maryland, I wanted to wear number one because of him. So. That tradition for me starts with him. That's why I wore number one. That's why I wanted to wear number one. And, you know, Mike Mollett wore it when I was a freshman. He was a senior. So once the number became available, I had to wear it. And it's truly an honor to wear number one at Maryland. It's not something to take lightly. I just am grateful that I was able to wear number one and carry on that legacy.
We need a number one pickup game, Keith. You and Coach Tills have got to get that together. Just like play three on three or 4-on-4 or something like that. I need that. I'll watch that during quarantine.
Not a lot of defense being played in that game, but you know what? We'll see what happens.
Joe, we'll get you out of here with a little bit of quarantine rapid fire where we kind of strayed away from our normal questions. What show are you watching right now to fight off boredom?
True Blood.
Oh, good one.
Oh, good one. I don't think we've gotten that one yet, Taylor. Yeah. I like it. Activity you're using to fight off boredom, something new you've picked up during quarantine?
At-home workouts.
What is your go-to workout? What? Get me and Keith in shape here. What do we need to look for?
So I just started doing this. Rob Pinnell, I follow him. He's my buddy. He posts workouts all the time. And it's like I don't know the name of it, but it's like a ladder workout. So basically, you start with one exercise. So you list out like 8 to 10 exercises. You start with the first exercise, then you go 1, 2, then you go back to 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. That's been great. I've been doing that the last week and I absolutely love it. It's been a really, they're hard. They're hard if you line up the correct exercises with what you want to accomplish. Once you get to like that 8th, 9th, 10th round, you're gassed. So it's been really good.
There it is, the ladder workout. Joe, the artist you're listening to right now?
I haven't listened to it yet, but Drake came out with a new album today. I'm going to listen to that today.
Yep. There it is.
Toughest defender to face in the PLL.
Oh, man. probably Tucker Durkin. He just slashes really hard, doesn't feel great. He got me a couple times when we played the Atlas. I had like marks down my entire back from him. But he throws good checks, but he also moves his feet really well. So Tucker.
I have to ask this. The PLL mics you guys an incredible amount, and it provides me and Keith some just awesome stuff to watch all the time. Has there ever been a time where you said something during a game where you're like, "Ooh, I hope they cut that one out of the mic'd up"? Or do you not even realize it's on at this point?
You don't really realize it's on. You just kind of go with it. And, you know, I talked about it in the podcast with Paul. It's just what's said on the field is what's said on the field. You know, it's in the battle. It's in the moment. And you just kind of say things that either you mean or you might not mean, but you say them and you live with it. So I don't think I've said anything that I really regret. You know, I've said things that are hurtful. 100%, but that's part of the game, man. It's part of the game. And after the game, you know, we're friends off the field. There's some guys you might not be so friendly with off the field, but you know, again, when we're on the field, when you step, I think what you saw with the PLL and with mic'd up, you just see how real things are and how authentic things are on the field. Nothing that's said is fake, and that's just how intense. That's how much we love what we do, and you see those things through mic'd up.
I'm just waiting for PLL to put cameras in your guys' helmets so I can just follow you guys around like race cars, like I do in NASCAR. Just go to helmet cams.
It's probably not far off.
Run the offense with Joe Walters. Joe, the coolest place lacrosse has taken you in your career, a long and illustrious career.
So it's taken me all over the country, but it took Kyle Harris and I. We went to Kyle's one of my good friends. He went to Hopkins. I played with Kyle on Team USA when I just graduated from Maryland. So we've been friends since then. And it took us, we ran camps together. We went to Rome, Italy, and we did a bunch of clinics out there. So it took me to Rome, and it's taking me to Hawaii. I'd love for it to continue taking me to cool places. So.
And finally, we usually ask people their favorite place to eat in College Park, but since we're doing the quarantine edition, favorite home-cooked meal?
Oh, man. Favorite home-cooked meal. I love Italian food. So, probably a pasta with arrabbiata sauce, which is like a spicy red sauce, and like grilled chicken in it. Maybe some artichokes, some broccoli, just all that together. But also, I mean, if we're talking College Park, it's not around anymore. But Ratzy's used to be a pizza place.
Yeah.
Ratzy's, but then you know what? Chipotle. I know this is like basic, but when I got to Maryland, that's the first time I ever saw Chipotle. And it, you know, for me, I was like, what is this? This is amazing. I used to go there all the time. So Chipotle, I got introduced to Chipotle at Maryland. So that's why it's special to me too.
For a while, it was the busiest Chipotle in the country. Now people
in the country.
Now, people, current student athletes at Maryland continue to say Chipotle, so don't feel bad about that. And we have them take them through their order. So take us down the line with your Chipotle order as it is right now.
Ooh. Okay. So we'll go burrito bowl, brown rice, double chicken, black beans, fajitas, which are peppers. And then we go all of the salsas, so mild. Medium.
All of the salsas.
Wow.
Okay.
I love
all of them.
Okay.
All of the salsas. Yeah, hot, medium, mild. and guac. Gotta go guac.
There it is. Are you a salad dressing person?
One of my teammates, Stephen Keogh, he went to Syracuse, but he like swears by it. I think I've tried it like once. I don't really care for it. It's not that it's bad. I just don't need it with all my salsas. I don't need anything.
Yeah, with all
there.
The salsas, you're pretty much covered. People swear by. I always ask that because people swear by the salad dressing. Like it's
people do swear by it. Yes,
the greatest thing that's ever happened. So there it is, Joe Walters introduced to Chipotle in College Park. Not many of the people that have said Chipotle can say that. Joe, thank you so much. Stay safe during this quarantine. We can't wait to see you in the PLL back for year two. Wow, me and Keith really enjoyed it last year. Can't see. Wait to
Thank
see you
for
guys
having me. Good Terps.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Keith, fantastic chat with Joe Walters. Really thank him for coming on the show. And we talked about sort of the lacrosse aspects of this. But you asked him about the Air Jordan story. We're an Under Armour show here, but that's amazing that he wore those on a lacrosse field. And then Facebook and Chipotle, two staples of American life at this point. Joe Walters at the beginning of both. That was just fantastic stuff from him.
It was on the cutting edge. When did you get your first Facebook account or only Facebook?
I was a freshman in high school, and that would have been 2006. So probably around the same time he got his, maybe a little bit after.
I think I was 07.
I believe I signed up as a freshman in high school.
Or you know what? I think I was 06 too. I think I was fall 06. I was a sophomore.
I think that's sort of when it was blowing up amongst the high school crowd. I do not remember the first time I had Chipotle. That was probably also in high school. We had one in Towson Place. We had a Qdoba and a Chipotle. We actually mostly went to Half Price Burrito Wednesdays. We're giving away free ads here. Half Price Qdoba Wednesdays on at Qdoba. So Chipotle I did not really get into as much until I got to College Park, which is a common thread among our athletes as they all talk about how much they go to Chipotle. You had one out in Bel Air, Keith, right? Correct?
Yes, we did. And that was probably likely my first Chipotle experience. I really didn't kind of come into my own with Chipotle until college. I think that's a, you know, kind of a staple with most people. Is when you're
Did you ever own a pair of Jordans?
I don't think I ever did. Maybe one pair. And they're probably, you know, in a landfill somewhere, unfortunately, because I did not save them.
I can't remember the number of the Jordans, but it was whatever one ended up being modeled after. The famous flu game Jordans are an incredible collector's item. I had that model as like a 6-year-old. For some reason, I forced my parents to buy them for me. I have no idea where they are. But now they always release the flu game Jordans and things like that. And that was the model
Taylor,
I had. But now all I have, I'm looking over my shoes. All I have is Under Armour shoes now.
So. I was going to say, I'm a company man. I only have Under Armour shoes in my repertoire right now.
Now that we've talked about other companies, we'll give Under Armour some love here. These new Rock shoes that are sort of like modeled after the Hover Infinites or whatever.
The Rock, yes.
They're nice. I'm looking at them right now.
I just got a pair of Hover Sonic 3s for running, yes. Which I love. You were talking
about the stride length they provide you.
Well, maybe not them specifically, but with the MapMyRun app, you can actually track a lot of different metrics, stride length, average foot contact with the ground time in milliseconds, some very interesting data points you can get out of that app. So some good things from Under Armour.
Right before recording this, coming off of a run. So
yes,
good for
yes
you.
I was. Yes, I was. Not too long of a one, but you know, I was out there today. That's what matters.
Stretching the legs out as we all try to stay active during this continued quarantine as we hopefully wait for sports to come back. College sports not coming back until the fall at the earliest because everything is done. And I Joe did speak about it, how, you know, bad he felt for the current Maryland team to get their season canceled. And it really does all come back to that. Hopefully for these PLL guys and their sake, they're able to get back out on the field this summer. It would be some welcome entertainment. I kicked myself for not getting out to either the D.C. or Baltimore stop last year and told myself if they, you know, obviously they're going to come back to both of those areas, would love to go out and see those guys do it as a lacrosse guy. One of the coolest things that's happened for that sport in a really long time, the presentation of that. So once again, happy to have Joe Walters on the show, Maryland legend, and we will continue to roll through. We've had Joe and make sure to go back and listen to Mike Schworn dealing with that from a baseball perspective. We want to continue to bring those sort of pro athletes in, see how they're dealing with it from that perspective. And Joe and Mike have given us some awesome stuff on that. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels here for Hear the Turtle, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Sneds311 if you want to follow Keith and his running, although you're not putting any running updates up there.
Unfortunately not. I don't think people are really interested in that. Yeah, I'll keep that in-house.
You and I are just retweeting Hear the Turtle. So really just following the Turtle. But if you want to follow me, at TaylorSmite10 for all the other shenanigans that I go through. And we will see you next week on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps.